Yorana, et bonjour from the Tahiti Papeete Mission. You know, Louisa Barnes Pratt became the first woman to serve a full-time mission for the Restored Church of Jesus Christ in this dispensation. Missionaries were sent to preach the gospel in England very soon after the church was organized in 1831, but women did not accompany them. So then in 1844, as you remember, Addison Pratt was called to serve in Polynesia, the first missionary to teach the gospel in a language other than English. After reading about the history of Addison's mission to French Polynesia, I became impressed with the part that his wife, Louisa, played in spreading the gospel in these islands. Not only did she steadfastly support her husband as he began his first mission, but she also accepted a call to serve with him when he returned in 1850. So rather than telling her story in third person, as we would normally do in a historical piece, we just give the events of her life, I decided to imagine how she might tell her story in her own words if she were among us today. I have based her story on two main sources, a book by S. George Ellsworth and Kathleen C. Perrin entitled Seasons of Faith and Courage, which is available, I might say, on Amazon. It's on Kindle Unlimited, so it's easy to get access to if you want. And Louisa Barnes Pratt, A Brief History of Her Life, published by the Church, which is also easy to access just by Googling the title Louisa Barnes Pratt. So I thought it might be fun to have my wife be the voice of Louisa Pratt. So, Sister Osgathorpe, would you be willing to do that?
Sure.
Okay, so go ahead. Or maybe I should say Sister Pratt. Go ahead.
When I met Addison, I knew I would be leading a life of adventure. He seemed to be afraid of nothing. The unknown seemed to beckon him as a magnet attracts steel. But he was also a kind man, and I knew he would be a good father to our children. And one by one, the children came. Four girls. Perhaps the most difficult thing in my life was to be alone, trying to raise my family without the support of Addison. He left in 1843 for his first mission to the islands, and then the Prophet Joseph died, and we were forced to travel west to a place none of us had ever seen before. Addison may have been intrigued with the unknown, but I was not. I just wanted to make sure my children were safe. When we left Nauvoo and made our way ever so slowly to winter quarters, Addison knew nothing of our departure. I had not received word from him for months. I wasn't sure if he was alive, and he probably wondered if I was alive. Much later, he told me that when he heard of the exodus from Nauvoo, he assumed that I had returned home to Pennsylvania. But I hadn't. I wanted to be with the saints. I wanted to build up Zion. The trek took its toll on me. I suffered all kinds of privations. When I contracted scurvy, my gums became so sore I could hardly eat, and the disease made me so tired I could barely move. I think it was because of scurvy that I lost all of my front teeth. And then we had to find shelter. We lived for a time in a dark, damp dugout. I felt like an animal living in a cave. But somehow we survived. One of my happiest moments was when Addison returned from the islands in 1849. I hadn't seen him for 6 years. The pain of separation did not depart instantly. I longed for a simple, stable marriage in a predictable place where we could raise our four daughters. But Addison was very happy to see us, and our daughters could not seem to get enough of him. Addison's mind and heart were still located in Polynesia. He went to President Young and pleaded for more missionaries to go back to Tupoi. Brigham granted his request, but the call came as a shock to me. I was called to serve alongside Addison, and our four girls were to accompany us. I accepted the call because it would mean that I would be able to be with Addison, but the whole experience was foreboding in every imaginable way. My sister, Caroline Crosby, and her husband, Jonathan, were also called, along with some others. It was Caroline and Jonathan who first introduced us to the gospel, so I was grateful she and Jonathan would be with us as we embarked on this mission. The long voyage across the Great Waters was as daunting, or even more daunting than the trek had been from Nauvoo to Salt Lake. When we arrived in Tupoi, I could see immediately that Addison was held in high regard by the chief and all the people in Tupoi. Island life was difficult. Finding food, preparing it, staying clean, and learning how to communicate kept us busy from morning till night. Learning Tahitian was difficult for me, but my two older daughters took to it effortlessly. It seemed to me they began speaking fluently in this strange tongue almost immediately. I could say some of the basic things, enough to get by, but our daughters were amazing. In fact, they act as interpreters for us as we held meetings with the sisters. Every day as we awoke, the saints would gather in the Faripurira, or meeting house, and sing and pray. Oh, how I love the music of these beautiful island saints. They sang and then read some verses from the Bible, and then we prayed, with almost no exception. They usually kept these meetings to only about 15 minutes long, which I appreciated. I would sometimes teach the gospel to those wanting to know more about our beliefs, and other times I tried to help the saints learn how to take care of their children and homes. My daughters loved teaching English lessons to the members. They were so eager to learn. Addison conducted school sessions for the children on the island and was impressed with how fast they learned. For a time, things were going all right, but when Addison left for the other islands, there I was, all alone, trying to take care of our four daughters. One night that I will not forget, my oldest daughter went for a walk at night, which she knew she should not do, and was propositioned by the chief. That scared me. It scared me a lot. I didn't feel safe, and I didn't know how to protect my children from the dangers of being outsiders on this remote island. So when Addison returned from one of his long voyages to the other islands, I told him something had to change because I didn't feel safe. He was sympathetic to my needs, but didn't seem to know how to comfort me. One of the other missionaries who came with us was Elder James Brown. He was an energetic, bold missionary, maybe a little too energetic, and went a little too bold. He came into conflict with some Catholic priests who had just started a parish on the island. He liked to display the American flag, talk about the Mormon battalion, and stir up the Polynesians against the French government. For all these anti-government activities, he was put in chains, taken to Tahiti, arrested, and then expelled from the island of Tahiti. But Elder Gruard, who was the skipper of the Ravai, the mission boat, picked up Elder Brown and took him back to the Astrals, this time to the island of Ravave. Elder Brown was not welcomed in this island. In fact, the locals were hostile towards him and other members of the church. So hostile that they built a bonfire and threatened to burn him at the stake. As they were trying to put him into a fire, a native mother stepped forward, holding her baby, and said, "If you're going to burn Elder Brown, you'll have to burn us first." Elder Brown rebuked the crowd in the name of God, and the mob eventually dispersed. But the incident had done its damage. I told Addison that I thought we should return home to the U.S., The French government became more controlling all the time, and it was clear that we would need to close the mission. At one point, the French government said they would take possession of all church property, that it would no longer belong to the church. I knew we needed to return home, and so did Addison, and so did Jonathan, and my sister Caroline. So, in 1852, we all left the islands hoping that the Polynesian saints would be able to keep the church going after the mission was closed.
Thank you, Sister Osgathorpe, for becoming Sister Pratt for just a little while. Now, as you can see, the Pratts and the Crosbys had their challenges. So when we feel challenged, we can think of Addison and Louisa and Jonathan and Caroline. They were strong, committed, determined missionaries, eager to share the message of the Restoration with everyone who would listen. Addison Pratt has received much deserved attention for the courageous work he began in Tupoy in 1844. But Louisa also deserves our respect for the valiant way she served as the first woman to serve a full-time mission for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. She broke the ground and laid the foundation for the sister missionaries who would follow. So, hats off to all the sister missionaries currently serving in the Tahiti Papeete mission. You are building on the early contributions of Louisa Barnes Pratt and Caroline Crosby.
I will always see, receive.